I very much appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, and I have richly enjoyed the singing and the praying and preaching of the gospel. For a moment, I'll do a little commercial like last night. I will encourage all of you, if you have the opportunity to come out in West Texas. We've got a lot of good, long, straight highways, no curves. We've got lots of beaches. We don't have any water, but we've got lots of beaches. And we're proud of both of our trees. Biggest issue going on, one of the biggest issues going on in Texas right now involves the presidential campaign, and that is, you all know, if one of the candidates wins, plans on building a wall along the Rio Grande River to keep people out. But we've been having good meetings out in West Texas, a lot of visiting ministers coming in from out of state. And if he comes down and builds that wall, I'm going to ask him if he'll build one along the Rio Grande, I mean not really down the Rio Grande where he's building, ask him if he'll build one along the Red River. Keep those Oklahoma preachers from showing us up. I think he's coming down and preaching. And after last night, and this morning, hearing Elder Phil and today Brother Chris and Brother Mark, we may have him put one up on the Mississippi. Say that jokingly, and I know this is excellent preaching. And it is wonderful to hear the gospel preached from ministers across the land and hear the same sound doctrine in agreement and in harmony among all the ministers from across the land. A lot of them don't speak with good accents, but we appreciate the sound doctrine with which they preach.
Amen.
I want to talk to you today a little bit, and then I won't say too long, get out of Brother Ricky's way. I'd like to hear him preach also. A little bit about our church and about the practice of the church. A little bit of doctrine, but mostly the practice of the church. Primitive Baptist Church, and I know all of you have heard this. Old Baptist Church, we're known as the old-timey church. Old-fashioned, outdated, antiquated. I understand that, and I've heard that, and I'm sure all of you have heard that many times too, but I've heard people say that about, you know, y'all are kind of old-fashioned, aren't you? I'll ask about that, and I'll tell them, you know, what is it about us that's old-fashioned? And usually it's, well, your service is awful simple. You don't have much show and much ceremony.
Amen.
They don't find too much disagreement with the manner of our preaching. They don't, you know, they don't ever show up to hear the doctrine, but they don't hear too much about the manner. They don't have any disagreement with the way we pray. A lot of the differences comes up with the song service. They have problems with our song service, the fact that we don't have instrumental music. We know we've had wonderful singing here. This singing here the last night and today has been outstanding. Really good. And you wish people that have those questions could come and hear that. We know sometimes when we get into some of our smaller congregations, and I have the opportunity to try to visit a number of our small churches in West Texas and try to fill the stand for them, and sometimes the singing's not too good. I've had to show up for small congregations and lead all the singing and the prayer and then try to speak and then lead the closing song. And I'm not the best leader, I'm not the best singer, and sometimes the song service is not as pleasant to hear to the ears. And the question is, why don't you guys improve your service by adding instrumental music? That helps to cover that up. We got room here. We could create some chairs over here. We could pick out our best singers and put them up here and make a choir. And the rest of you could listen to that and wouldn't have to sing. I don't know this crowd real well, but I know somebody out here is a good piano player, a good organ player, and there's probably a good violinist. I don't have enough fingers to play the guitar, but I can play the drums. I can hold a drumstick. We could form us a pretty good band here, really, just sitting over in the corner. Why don't we add instrumental music? We could improve the sound of our singing with instrumental music. That's one of the biggest things they say that we're old-timey. Just pick Dallas. Dallas, pretty good-sized city. How many churches are there in Dallas who do not use instrumental music? You can count them on two hands, or you can use my hands. Why don't we have instrumental music? We need to go back and look and see if it's authorized. First of all, let me talk to you. The Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. I want to go back, because if you ask them to starting to try the tables and ask them to justify the instrumental music in the church, first place they always take is back to Psalms. Let's go to the 98th Psalm. Pretty good authority here. We've got David talking here. 98th Psalm, verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the voice of a psalm. With the trumpets and the sound of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. That's what Brother Clifford just encouraged us to do. Make a joyful noise. Go over here to Psalms 149. Let's get David again. Psalms 149. There's a bunch more in here, but let's just cover these easy. 149:3. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. Psalm 150, verse 3. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Sometimes it's difficult to get better authority than David. He's pretty good authority on this. Let's go back. You know, David was the one, you know, Moses set up the tabernacle under the instruction of the Lord. David is the one that started out, though, the formalities of the worship service. Go back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, setting up the formalities of the worship service. Verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 6, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, on psalteries, on timbrels, on cornets, and on cymbals. Over here to 1 Chronicles, a little more detail about David setting up the church. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, when David brought the ark into Jerusalem. Go to verse 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. David said, Levites, I want you to appoint some people to be our singers. Sounds a whole lot like a choir to me. Go over here to chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles. David made Solomon king. And then it said, and he gathered together all the princes of Israel with all the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered in age from 30 years and upwards, and their number by their poles, man by man, was 38,000 priests, of which 24,000 were set to do the work of the house of the Lord, 6,000 were officers and judges, moreover 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments of music which I have made, said David, to praise therewith. That's real good authority. I mean, I've given you half a dozen verses here where David said to praise the Lord with instruments of music, psalteries and harps. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have that? Why don't we have a choir? Brother Jeb, have I convinced you yet? Brother Mike?
Yeah.
I'm not a very good preacher. I'm not getting any converts. Ever, you notice every scripture I've given you is out of the Old Testament.
Right.
Y'all caught that, huh? It's out of the Old Testament. What's, you know, the basic difference between the Old Testament and New Testament? Now, many of y'all know I'm an attorney. This is not a set-up question. This is an easy one. Okay? Biggest difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, the guy called Jesus shows up in the New Testament. And Jesus and what He represented changed things with our worship service. I'm not going to quote any scriptures today that y'all hadn't heard, but let's go with me to Hebrews chapter 8. You know where I'm at. All of you are familiar with this. We find out in chapter 8 that Jesus is our new high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Brother Ed's here, and he's my expert on Melchizedek. He's given me good lessons on that. But it said, verse 6 of chapter 8, Christ is talking about, but now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry by how much He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Remember Brother Chris talked to us this morning about that covenant and how the Lord broke that covenant, that He broke the first covenant. People weren't following Him. People weren't following and going along with Him. And so Christ shows up to represent the new covenant. He's the mediator of a new covenant. And y'all know what the new covenant is, but let's go over it. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, lead them out of the land of Israel, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant. He hath made the first old. The old covenant he had in the Old Testament that he made is old. And he said, now that which decayeth and waxeth is old and ready to vanish away. That old covenant is obsolete, washing away. Christ is here representing and is a mediator and our advocate under the new covenant. So we're under a new covenant. What does that have to do with the worship service? We've still got strong precedent there that instruments of music ought to be used. Well, guess what he says in chapter 9, right after chapter 8? He says, and oh yeah, that old covenant had a portion, an element of it that addressed the worship service. And he goes through in great detail, and I'm going to cheat like Brother Chris does, and let me summarize and paraphrase a little bit. He goes into great detail in chapter 9 about what the old worship service was about, how it was done in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple. And all the instruments he had, from the candelabra, the show table, and the bread, to all the altars, the sacrifices gave place. It was a great show of ceremony in the Old Testament. Big show. Go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, where Solomon dedicated the temple. Look at the ceremony they had that day. I'd love to have been there. It'd been outstanding. I mean, he killed 150,000 animals, just short of 150,000 animals, and dedicated them. Took 7 days to do it. Had feasts. Had all these old feasts. Go back and read the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. You had all these feasts they were to do as part of the worship service. All of that was a part of the worship service that is described here in briefly in chapter 9 of Hebrews. Opens it up saying, this is what the old worship service was. But that was part of the old covenant. The one that is fadeth away. The one that is gone. Tells us in here, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. And he gets ready and says, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, the new covenant. Christ represents the new covenant. The old covenant is gone. It's faded away. And he tells us a part of that was the worship service. Why was the worship service taken out? Why does it fade away? Was God happy with the worship service? He created it. He's the one that created all these feasts. He's the one who created all the feasts. He created all. He gave great detail. Remember back in when he gave to Moses all the great detail about the robes the priests are supposed to wear. We don't wear those. All the great robes, the details of the tabernacle, the details of the temple. All of the great, and all the ceremonies we had to go through, and the feasts, all those things we had to go through. And he dictated them, and I want you to have these burnt offerings. I want a sweet savor, as we heard again preached this morning. I want to smell that sweet savor coming up from these sacrifices. Go with me back to Isaiah chapter 5. Find it. Isaiah chapter 5. He opens up chapter 5, and you all know this parable. It's repeated over in Matthew 21. Parable of the vineyard. The Lord says, I gave you everything you needed to worship service. Put everything in, gave you a perfect worship service. Brother David preached on this last night. Even today, the Lord's given us a perfect church. We mess it up. Brother David, I've done my share of that too. He said the same thing here. He said, I've given you a vineyard, perfect vineyard, everything in it you need, and you've messed it up. He goes on and talks about it. He says, woe unto them. Verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and commune until night, until wine inflame them, and the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. I'm tired of your worship service. You're worshiping not for me, you're worshiping for yourself. You're drinking too much wine. You're eating the food, but it's not for the feast that I intended. The Lord said, you've ruined the worship service. All these things that I gave you to do, you're doing them now for yourself. You have lots of wine for yourself. In today's terms, he said, you've taken the worship service and you've turned it into a party. Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar today? Mm-hmm. You're using it for your own benefit for yourselves. You're not doing it to worship me. You're doing it for yourself. Better just go over to the book of Amos, chapter 5. Yeah. Book of Amos, chapter 5. And Amos is talking here. Chapter 5 begins verse 21. He says, I despise your feast days. The Lord created those. Why does he despise them? And I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Remember he talked about how he wanted the sweet smell. He said, now, I hate it. I will not smell it. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. Chapter 6, verse 5. He said, woe unto them that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with chief ornaments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They're using the worship service for themselves. Yep. It's a good party time. Yep. Yep. Drink a lot of wine. We're going to eat all the food. We're going to listen to music. We're going to listen to music for ourselves. I love instrumental music. You can go out on my car when you just any time, and I've got the radio going. I'm a child of the 60s. I like to listen to that 60s channel on satellite radio. I know all the songs. I can play the drums in nearly all those songs. I love it. That's for me. It's for my flesh. If I bring a piano in this church, I'm going to be sitting over here and listening to that piano play, and it'll probably be good. But I'm listening to that play because I enjoy the sound of it. That's for me. That's what we're told in Hebrews chapter 9. He said it was a worldly sanctuary. If I go to church to listen to the music, for me, I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, when I was in college several years ago, I went down to, got up one Sunday morning, and of course, you know, we're not as aggressive in college as we ought to be sometime, and so I got myself out of bed and kind of hated it. But went down to church and sat on about the fourth or fifth row, pulled in next to a man, sat next to him, and I didn't know him, hadn't seen him before. Visitor to our church. The minute I sat down, I wish I hadn't. He could not sing. It was terrible. And I'm sitting there trying, I can't sing because he's taking me so much out of tune. It was just terrible. I kept thinking, what do I do now? Do I get up and move? I don't want to be embarrassing to him or me, and I don't want to have any hard feelings, but I cannot sing next to this guy. We went through that whole song, and I thought, oh, is he ever going to quit? We got down to the end of that, and he looked at me and said, wasn't that beautiful? He got the blessing.
Yeah.
I was made the fool.
Yeah.
I started listening to him differently. He was singing from the heart.
Yeah.
He was singing and he was enjoying it. He was singing from the heart to the Lord. We sing from the heart. That's where the Lord's already told us in that new covenant. That's where he is. That's where he's put himself. In the heart. This man was singing in the heart. You say, Brother Don, I can't sing though. I'm like that guy. I don't have the voice to sing. I just can't sing. You know, we got a lot of people who don't sing in church. And they come and listen and they don't sing because they said, I can't sing. I don't have the voice for it. You got the voice that God gave you.
Amen.
That's the one he expects you to sing with.
Amen.
You're not singing for me. You're singing for him.
Yeah.
When I started listening to that man that day, of course, when I get embarrassed, I start laughing to myself. I get tickled, and I realize then, I'm going, oh my gosh, he's made a fool out of me and didn't even realize it. I started listening to him. Suddenly, you could tell he was singing happy. And he was singing with melody in his heart. And suddenly, I could hear that. I didn't hear it the first time. So he woke me up for that. We sing with melody in our hearts. That's one reason that we talked about back to Isaiah and Amos. One reason we don't use instrumental music anymore is because the Lord condemned it, because the people were turning it in to worship to themselves.
Right.
You go to a church and you take away the singing and you put a piano up here, I'm going to start listening to piano. I like hearing a piano play. Like I said, I like instrumental music. When I get in and somebody's, I like hearing gospel songs that they'll play them on there. I enjoy that. That's really for me. That's for my flesh. I'm not really singing to the Lord and singing to myself. Now, when I listen to that singing, I'm singing for my own benefit. I'm like those people back that he was talking about in Isaiah and Amos about, you're doing this for yourself. You're not singing to me. You're not worshiping to me. Go back to Hebrews, we were talking about, where he talks about that service. He says, number one, we go back there in Isaiah and Amos and we find out the Lord didn't like. He was tiring of the old worship service because they were not doing it. It was a service where they were not doing it for him. They were doing it for themselves. They turned it into parties and were enjoying it in that format. You remember one of the first things Christ did, at least the scriptures tell me, at least two times, he went and cleansed the temple. Why did he do that? Because things were going on in the temple that were not proper. You've taken my father's house of prayer and turned it into a den of thieves. They were using the church for commercial purposes. They were selling and doing stuff in the church they shouldn't have been doing. He had to go cleanse it. He was still the same way. He felt the same way. You're doing stuff in the church doesn't belong there. They were using it for commercial purposes. You need to look at some of the churches we have today, and I don't want to get into the politics of all that. But anytime things are going on inside the church that are not authorized under the new covenant, then they're wrong.
Amen.
And they're doing it for themselves and not for the Lord.
Amen.
Secondly, in Hebrews, he tells us not only is, well, not only back what's taking place in Isaiah and Amos, the Lord got tired of and got old and said, I don't want it anymore. But over here in Hebrews, we tell us under this new covenant, we've got a new covenant. The old one is gone. It's gone and passed away. I want to go back where I started now. We're called the old-timey church, the old-fashioned church, the antiquated church, outdated. And I listen to that sometimes, and I don't, it doesn't bother me too much. I'm an attorney. I've been called a lot of different things and gotten this thing. But attorneys like to go on the record. Well, I want to go on the record today. The old Baptist church is the most modern church that I know of. Because we worship under the new covenant. Not the old covenant. We worship under the new covenant and we keep it there. Now, another thing I'll go on the record about is that they're irritating is we've got a lot of people, a lot of churches that have added things to the service because they want to make them better. They want to modernize them. Unfortunately, a few times it's been the old Baptist churches. They want to take it and the first thing they do is they'll add instrumental music because they want to modernize the church. They want to do it. What do we call them? We call them progressives. They are not progressives. They are regressives. They're taking us back to the Old Testament one step at a time. They're taking us back to that old worship that Christ said, the Lord said, I don't like. He did away with it, and it was replaced with a new covenant.
Amen.
They're not progressive. Even we join in and we call them that. And that irritates me. I want to go on record again. They are not progressive churches. They are regressive. They're going backwards, not forwards. We have, and we should thank the Lord for this every day, we have the modern church in doctrine and in practice because we practice the doctrine and the practice under the new covenant.
Amen.
If you're doing stuff that doesn't belong there, then you're regressing backwards. You're not going forward. You're not progressive. You're regressive. Lord has blessed us in the wonderful doctrine in that regard. And we didn't have instrumental music in the church for years. Even in some of the other denominations, you got guys like John Calvin, John Wesley, Martin Luther. Even, a lot of the famous leaders of all these doctrines did not believe in instrumental music in the church. You can research it. Look it on the internet, as they say. It's on the internet. It's got to be true. No, no, that's a joke. But that's you can research and see. There's all the religious leaders of all the doctrines did not believe in instrumental music in the church. They've been added little by little over the church to try to improve the service. When they do, they're not improving it. They're taking it backwards. Anytime we add something that is not authorized under the New Testament, under the New Covenant, then we are regressing. We're not progressing. We are the progressive church. We have the modern church. We should thank the Lord and ask Him to help us make sure we keep it, the modern church. We believe in a simple worship service. We preach from the heart. We pray from the heart and we sing from the heart.
Amen.
The temple now is where? It's inside us. The temple is inside us. The old worship service has changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. We need to have changed with it and we need to stay with it.
Right.
Amen. Brother Ricky, I want you to get ready because they're fixing to be up here. I want to go, I'll close on two verses here, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. It says, above all these things, verse 14, put all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making grace in your hearts to the Lord. There is not a single scripture, okay? There's not a single scripture in the New Testament that authorizes instrumental music in the church under the New Covenant. Not a single scripture. Not a single scripture that authorizes it. Not a single scripture that gives an example of it. Not a single scripture that hints of it. Under the New Covenant worship, there is no instrumental music. Not hinted, not given an example. We don't have any examples of the apostles. Of Christ who gave us examples of instrumental music in church. Everything comes from the heart. I don't sing the best, but when I sing to the Lord, I enjoy it. When we sing to the Lord, we enjoy it. The last verse I'll go is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Again, not in the new verses for any of you. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Lord has blessed us with a modern church. Let's keep it modern. Let's keep it modern under the new covenant. Any change from that, any change that's not authorized under that new church, under the new covenant, is going backwards. Not progressive. Amen. It's regressive. Thank you very much. I appreciate your kind attention. My prayers, Lord, richly bless you.